according to the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 18 and 19. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to himself a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea."
Then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. This is the word of the Lord.
For the last 4 weeks, we have heard the story of Ruth. Hear now the end of that story. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." And then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi," and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Amminadab. Amminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If you never hear the song, "Do You Hear the People Sing" in Les Miserables? It's no longer Les Miserables. If you never hear the phrase, "Tomorrow is another day," is it really gone with the wind anymore? And if nobody ever says, "May the force be with you," would anybody ever wonder what that little lawn gnome with the pointy ears meant by all of this talk about the universe? Would it really be Star Wars anymore? There are small, subtle moments and phrases that act as a little linchpin for every story. And there's a little Latin phrase for that. Sine qua non. Sine, without. Qua, which. Non, not. The idea that there is something without which the rest of it is not true or not whole or not coherent. And we've read events and we've heard utterances that almost ring like a bell that is pealing in the distance. And while we could probably get into a pretty good debate about what might be the most important verse in the entirety of the text, I think there is one verse, one sine qua non, without which there is no Book of Ruth. Boaz has taken Ruth as a wife. And just as the author has been quick to show us that it's even the Lord's hand in the conception that comes between Ruth and Boaz, and when that child is born to that unlikely couple, the women of Bethlehem start to form and act almost like a Greek chorus. And in verse 14, you just heard them sing this: "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel." That verse, I believe, is the sine qua non of the whole story. That one utterance, if you leave it out, it ceases, if you will, to be the Book of Ruth. Why? Why would I say that? If you read the story, then you know that it begins in death. Bethlehem is a wasteland of death. It is arid. That family moves, and that husband dies. And then that widowed wife loses her two sons, her two little lads, which in the Hebrew word for lad is the word yechled. And here in chapter 4, those two lads have died, who have died. It's all been answered by the birth of a young little lad. Another unlikely child born to Ruth and Boaz, whose existence owes itself to a Moabite woman who left everything that was familiar to her, who ventured herself in faith and entrusted herself to this God whom she barely knew. That child's existence owed itself to a righteous landowner named Boaz, who from the moment we meet him, acts with a kindness that can only be compared to the kindness of God at every turn. One who at cost to himself unites himself in love to that woman and to this family. He acts as a goel, a redeemer, a true redeemer. And in verse 14, that Hebrew chorus says, this child has become another redeemer for Naomi. He will be the one, as it says, who will restore life to her that had been lost in death and loss. This child will be the one to work the land when he comes of age so that he might provide for Naomi, so that he will help her to survive. It's this child who will serve her, which is what his name Obed means. He serves. There is no other place in the Old Testament when the word for redeemer is applied to anyone but an adult, except here. But here, this child, this little baby, is Naomi's redeemer. He will be the one to remind her of God's goodness by the way in which he will manifest the kindness of God to her. Verse 14 is the resolution to Naomi's story. She was emptied of life, and now it's this child who has given her life back. It's the sine qua non of her story. But it's not just the resolution of her story. Verse 14 gets to the heart of another story too. You know how this story ends. It doesn't stop with the birth of this child. It traces out what follows after the birth of this child. There is glory in and of that birth itself. But it is he who proceeds later from that birth that makes verse 14 an even more important verse. Because without that verse, there's another story that's incomplete. Not Naomi's story, the story of Israel. The story of Ruth didn't just begin in death, it began in disarray. Israel, in the time of the judges, was a people in which everybody was doing right what was right in their own eyes. It needed someone to lead them, to shepherd them, that they might find the life that God meant for them. And it will be David, who is the grandson of Obed. And it will be David, who will be Israel's greatest king, the one to lead them like no one had or would since. It's David who will deliver them from their oppression on multiple occasions. It will be David who gives Israel words by which they might approach God in prayer in the Psalms. He will be Israel's redeemer. And so when these ladies sing this neighborly song unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who this day has not left you without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel," they are not just neighborly words to Naomi. They are God's words to Israel. Without them, there is a hole in Israel's story. There is a hole in Israel's heart. They are the sine qua non of how we understand Israel's story. But for two reasons, verse 14 is the sine qua non of one other story. Because you see, before David died, God makes him a promise that his kingdom will not end. That though he will die, his line will live. Even when Israel has been exiled for her apostasy, it's the psalmists and the prophets that keep that promise with faith. And that's one reason why verse 14 is the sine qua non of another story beyond David. The other reason it's this. For all that you know of David's story and all its glory, you also know of the need of grace in his own story. He would be king, but he would connive in ways most foul, in ways most unbefitting a king, to say nothing of one chosen by God. The grace responsible for bringing his grandfather to existence is the same grace that David will need to be restored to the favor and kindness of God. Brothers and sisters, and welcome guests, it is the testimony of the angels and the shepherds and wise men and aged sages that you've just heard seven families read. It's that testimony that says that this little child, Jesus, is the answer to the question of David's enduring line. He is the one on that throne whose kingdom shall not end. It's that testimony. But brothers and sisters, it is the testimony of our own hearts. It is the testimony of your own heart. Hearts which may have not committed adultery, but which are acquainted with the lust that gives rise to it. Hearts which may have not have committed the murder that David authorized, but hearts which know of the hatred that is the seed of murder. It is the testimony of yours and my own heart, which recognizes our same need of grace, forgiveness, and redemption that David needed. And it is the collective testimony that attests to how verse 14 is the sine qua non, not just of Naomi's story, not just of David's story or of Israel's story, but of your story and of my story. Blessed be the Lord, who this day has not left us without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. What Obed was to Naomi is what David was to Israel, is what Jesus is to us all. He is that redeemer who shall be renowned for leaving everything that was familiar to him to enter into a squalid condition. He is the Redeemer who would die for those who might have just as otherwise dismissed him. He is the Redeemer for which God is rightly to be praised. He is the sine qua non of our story. Just a few weeks after the fourth and final inauguration of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he retired to his retreat center in Warm Springs, Georgia. And a little after lunch, he was sitting for a portrait and then complained of a severe headache, and he retired to his bed, and there he suffered a brain hemorrhage to which he would succumb. And when the train that conveyed his body back to Washington arrived at Union Station, and the funeral procession headed its way back to the Capitol, there along the processional route, a journalist who was covering the story took note of a man who, as the cortege went by, fell to his knees and wept. And that journalist walked to that man, who returned to his feet, and that journalist asked that man, "So, sir, did you know the president?" And he answered, "No, I didn't know him, but he knew me." Brothers and sisters, for all our desire to be the master of our own fate, if we are honest with ourselves, we know that we need someone to lead us. We know that we need someone to show us the way of wisdom and love. And for all of our pride in what we do, who we are, and what we've accomplished, we know, if we're honest, that we are lost unless we are met with grace, forgiveness, and redemption. And that is why we can say God knows our story, because he was sure not to leave out the sine qua non of that story. That is why these words allow our story to be full. Blessed be the Lord who this day has not left us without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.